The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line. Until one today, your daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas broadcast on Manx Radio. Call 66 13 68, text 166 177. You can WhatsApp and 166 177 as long as we're in your contacts. And you can email studio at manxradio.com. Talking about parking today and the fact that down south they've been nicking people outside their houses and also parking on pavements. If you're not visually impaired, how would you like it if you were just suddenly walking along a pavement you're used to walking along to and you clang into a mirror, someone's driving mirror, or you walk straight into the bonnet of a vehicle or to the boot of a vehicle or into a trailer? How would you feel about that? Parking on pavement. But also today, a big subject today in Timor, the horse trams, big topic. The Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall, says he is not hopeful. Get the words, not hopeful. The horse trams will run this year, 2022. Well, they ran yesterday because somebody was pointing a camera at them, and it's for a TV programme. And they ran about 50 yards along the prom. But the horse trams, not hopeful, says the minister. Tim Crookall says he'll be going back to Timwell Court in June with a figure as to how much the project has been overspent. Here's a flavour of what happened today.
There has been considerable difficulty in securing materials to finish off the horse tramway in the vicinity of Broadway, which is critical to the tramway operating. I am very disappointed that there is not a definite delivery date on the outstanding components, so I am not yet able to provide a date for completion. Attempts are still being made to see if an alternative solution can be found that will allow the horse trams to operate this summer. The department will make an announcement regarding the horse trams as soon as possible, and I believe that will be by the end of this week, Mr. President. Now, there have been a lot of issues with this. It started well before my time in the department, and this is one of the reasons why, and it didn't take long to see once I got into this department there were going to be issues here, and it was not going to be finished as and when it was said it was going to be finished. It still isn't finished as far as I'm concerned, because these tracks aren't done, and hopefully by the end of this week we'll have an answer on that. I am not hopeful, I will tell you that now for nothing. I am not hopeful there'll be horse trams running this year from what I've just received this morning. But it's not a definite at the moment, but I am not hopeful at the moment. I need some really positive and teamwork coming together from my department, and I will say that here and now to make this happen.
Supplementary, Mrs. Kane.
Thank you, Mr. President. Could the Minister recap for us what additional expenditure is remaining to spend to complete the promenade and the reinstallation of the tramways? I think previously he has said £1.2 million to the War Memorial and an additional £1.5 million to the end, or in that region. But would he accept that Timwald has previously voted three times, I believe, in support of the horse trams, latterly in 2017, to instruct the department to complete the single tram line between the War Memorial and the end of Loch Promenade? So doesn't he feel that his department should carry out the will of Timwald and complete the tram line? And when he talks about the overspend and the additional funding needed for the tram lines, would he accept that that's because of the overspend on the roadway and the tram lines have not had the expenditure that was initially in the project for them? So why is the department's incompetence now being the responsibility of the tram lines and the tram lines at risk because of the department's incompetence?
Minister to reply.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would nearly agree with everything that the Honourable Member has just said, except for the incompetence part, because it's not just the department here. There's other people involved at all. Some members find it funny. I don't, when we're talking a lot of millions of pounds of taxpayers' money here, but I certainly don't find this funny at all. I find it really hard to deal with within the department, but the Honourable Member is basically right in what she said with regards to the figures of what will be needed to come back. And yes, when I come back to Timwood, as I said, probably in June, for the overspend on the job, on the project for the, you know, there will be a breakdown of where all the money has gone, because I know money has been taken from the tram lines to finish the tram lines to put back into the prom, and people need to know exactly where that's gone. And there are other parts that had money taken from them too, as far as I'm led to believe, to go into the prom to finish it, so other things haven't been done. And I will absolutely make that clear to honourable members of Tynwald.
Tim Crookall, MHK, Infrastructure Minister, seems to have the bit between his teeth over this. We'll find out in June. Derek joins us first today. Hi, Derek.
Hiya. Maybe you can refer him to today's I newspaper. On the back page, Discover the UK, Great Rail Journeys, three sort of sub-sections, Edinburgh, Wales and the Isle of Man. And the Isle of Man, it says, Britain's longest narrow-gauge railway, soak up the views from the Electric Mountain Railway and enjoy the historic horse-drawn trams.
Well, well, well.
And that's in today's newspaper, The Eye, on the back page.
And what's the company called?
I think it's called Great Rail Journeys. That's the logo above it. It just says to order your free brochure now. So presumably it's the same advertisement as within the brochure.
Well, and that's for this year, does it say?
That's for this year.
Oh, dear.
It's got underneath departures between May and October 2022. So this is advertising all in holidays, I would imagine.
And what's your feeling about the horse trams, Derek?
I love them. Absolutely adore them. One of the great things about the Isle of Man, one of the exclusive things about the Isle of Man, other places would give their right arms to have it.
And so what do you think should happen? I mean, because they've said, that they've always said along, you know, they've said that the horse trams will go to the sea terminal. What do you think?
The money was allocated for it to go to the sea terminal. I remember them speaking about it and it being done. Whatever's happened to it, I don't know. But that money was allocated for it to go the whole way to the sea terminal.
And, well, Mr. Crookall seems...
I don't really care what Mr. Crookall
thinks. Yeah, but Mr. Crookall, remember, he's the one who's had to pick up this this job, as it were. And he seems adamant that the truth is going to come out and he'll say where that money went that was taken out.
Well, I'll wait for that with bated breath. The bottom line is, I remember that happening, and whatever's happened to the money, it should not have happened, because the money was put there by the previous government.
Okay, all right, we appreciate that. Thanks, okay. Derek.
Cheers now.
All right, good to talk to you. Howard's on now on Man Online. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Andy. Just to cover that chap, Derek has just been on, and the advert, I think the I newspaper is owned by the Daily Mail. It's part of the group. But he's quite right in with the adverts, because on Easter Monday, well, I do voluntary along with a number of other people at the Camera Obscura, and we had a group of rail enthusiasts. They'd done the electric railway, they'd done the steam railway, they'd done various other railways, and they'd requested that we could open up the Camera Obscura, because that in itself is unique. All these little things add up to what you term for these people as a holiday. And we had a group that came up there. We had the place open as per normal on the Easter Monday, and they thoroughly enjoyed it, and they went away happy. Now, the horse trams are of a similar thing, where the people will come to the island, and these are people that have an active interest in railways and various forms of transport, and this is their holidays, not going lying on a beach somewhere or booking a spade. But going back, that does to say, this should be part of the island where everything is integrated, where you can have a pass to go on everything, because they're all virtually owned by the government. You can have a pass to do all the various railways, excluding the Ground, which is privately owned. But the various other ones, you can have a single pass to do the lot. And that would give you an all-inclusive type holiday to cover what you really enjoy. But going back to the horse trams, now, Mr. Crookall was saying there this morning that they have difficulty, and they will probably have more difficulty in acquiring the items to finish off. Now, over 18 months, nearly 2 years ago, I was told by somebody on site that where they were putting the rails down, they're not seen now because they're concreted over. But the bars, the tie bars, etc., that hold the rails down, and I'd like somebody to come on and deny this, but they didn't have enough to do the full system. And when they made requests to the company, and I believe it's only a single company that manufactures these, they were told for they couldn't manufacture or guarantee a delivery for well over a year. Now, is that what's happening now, and it's been kept quiet? It's excuses, not reasons. Are the bars that are required to hold the lines in position, because they've got the lines, they bought the whole lot, they spent quite a few million on them and bought all the lines to go from one end of the prom to the other. But you've got to have something to hold them firmly in the ground. And this is what I heard, was unable to acquire, and they didn't have enough to do the job. And it was going to take more than a year to get an order and to complete the order and have them delivered. And that sounds very much like what is happening now. And living in hope that everybody will look at that jungle that's down there on the promenade with the car park, which should be trimmed and kept tidy. Forget the wilding. That's neglect if it's left like that. But is that the reason why they're not continuing? And they're just given these feeble excuses every 5 minutes of the day. The public are not stupid.
Howard, there were politicians in the last Timwald, the one that was in session before last year, there were politicians who were sick to the back teeth of hearing about the horse trams and wanted rid of them.
Well, as they say, it's the wheel that squeaks the loudest that gets the grease. And unless people keep churning out and saying, we want the horse trams back, then these politicians are sitting in there rubbing their hands, and they will disappear. If you don't use it, you will lose it. And if it's not on the promenade, it's another nail in the coffin of the Isle of Man Tourist Industry Incorporated.
And we've not heard a squeak from Douglas Council about the horse trams. I mean, obviously they don't run them anymore, but they did for years, so they surely would have seen merit in the horse trams.
No. They didn't. That's why they got rid of them. It was a word I used yesterday, a millstone round the town council's neck. But they got rid of them, and there were quite a number of councillors in there that adamant they didn't want to have the horse trams on their books. It was originally the Douglas Bay horse trams transport, and then the corporation took it over, and the tourist industry was here then, and they were running up and down all day long. And they, I don't know whether they sold them or gave them to the government, but the government now are the people who look after the interests of the public. And the public should be looked after now in this instance. And I very much hope that the public do not allow this to go away, because the government will, and then turn around, blame the public for not having enough support.
Okay.
And if you don't keep churning away and keep fed up, the government will just ignore it, and they'll go on to something else, some other bright scheme somewhere.
Okay, all right, Howard, thanks for calling today.
Take care, bye now.
Appreciate it. 21 minutes past 12. The horse trams, big topic in Timwald today. You heard the Infrastructure Minister, Tim Crookall. Remember the other Infrastructure Ministers, Tim Baker, Ray Harmer, no longer in Timwald, no longer MHKs. Infrastructure Minister is a big job, and this is just one of the things that he has to concentrate on. And in a way, he's presiding over a museum piece. The horse trams are a museum piece. They're a tourist attraction. I'd venture to suggest the vast, vast majority of residents of the Isle of Man haven't been on the horse trams, well, didn't go on the horse trams before they disappeared, over 5 years. Very few people use the horse trams. However, our visitors comment on the horse trams. They like the horse trams. They find them quirky. They find them attractive. And they are tourism theatre to the Isle of Man. And they are unique. Oldest horse trams in the world. And they're Manx. So when they do come back, if they do come back, will everybody be fully behind them? They do cost money. There's no way they're ever going to make a profit. But what do you think? Text, email, call, WhatsApp, whatever you want to do. Gemma said, look, there's time for a vote of no confidence in Tynwald. Getting rid of the horse tram is no different than demolishing Castle Rushen or demolishing Peel Castle. It's part of our heritage, and they shouldn't be allowed to get away with this, of getting rid of... Do you think that's... Is that a valid comparison? If suddenly tomorrow they were to decide we're going to demolish the House of Mananan or the Grove in Ramsey or the old school building in Castletown just because, do you think... Is that valid? Obviously, the Isle of Man is a unique offering for railway tourism. We have the mountain railway, the electric railway to Ramsey, Douglas to Ramsey. We've got the steam railways. We've got the Laxey Mine Railway. We've got Gradle Glen Railway. We've got that wildlife ride-on railway as well. So all this in one place for photographers, for railway enthusiasts, transport fans. Around the world, there is no place like the Isle of Man. However, if one element of it, and a crucial element, that of the horse trams, is taken away, what do we have? Text, email, or call. Lots of response on this today, but I also want to talk about parking on pavements as well. Isle of Man police recently posted on social media to say officers are going to be cracking down on parking on pavements. Well, this may be welcome news to you, perhaps, if somebody's parking on the pavement outside your house or business. Jason Morehouse, the Arbury Castle Town and Maloo MHK, is questioning whether the right areas are being targeted. He said some locals in the south have been surprised to find tickets being handed out in housing estates rather than in busy shopping areas.
I think a lot of people assume that when the police made the announcement, it was going to be on streets close to shops and main roadways. So when they kind of turned up in the leafy suburbs, people went, oh, we weren't expecting this. And it's that kind of unexpected nature that's been the shocker. And several people have got the tickets and gone to me and said, well, you know, it would have been nice to have a warning or some kind of awareness this was happening, which in many ways it would be true that that warning would have helped.
Do you think then there are other parking issues that should have been given higher priority?
Definitely. I think before this was implemented in place at Elizabeth Rise, someone from infrastructure should have gone around and looked at the parking situation, made the residents aware that this was going to come in and advised some other location would have to be used. I feel it's kind of a big change without anyone up at all. And, you know, it's to get a £60 parking fine out of the blue for parking outside your house in the way you've done for many years is a big surprise. And, you know, it is based on a law, but at the same time, that law hasn't been enforced for many, many years, and you're not really considering that. It needs to be thought about, perhaps. There are certain areas of Castletown that haven't seen a traffic warden ever before, and people have ended up with parking fines, which has come as quite a surprise. So really, it's an awareness-raising question, but also saying to DOI, you know, if you're going to take action in this way, potentially, it would be a good idea to actually make people aware of it, because in some of these suburban areas, it's difficult to park. And place like Elizabeth Rise, where you've only got a narrow section of road and it's a clear cul-de-sac, and people actually park in a way that allows prams and disability buggies and things to go past, perhaps there should be a level of leniency. So it's really just finding out why it's been implemented in such a way without any prior warning.
Has this affected you, by the way? Have you been nicked for parking outside your own house on the pavement? Have you got a ticket? Have you argued about the ticket? Perhaps have you had it rescinded? Tell us about this. How much of a problem is parking on pavements? And did you expect if police were going to be targeting people parking on pavements, it was going to be to the people parking outside retail premises, not in housing estates. Text, email or call. It was a good idea to, was it a good idea to have the horse tram track crossing over the traffic lane near Broadway, says John. Why have none of the civil servants been brought to task for this farcical situation? Jeff in Balaff said, any normal working class person would have been sacked with no questions asked. Disappointed. Ask that question, says Jeff. We'll find out. And I don't know about you, but remember Mr. Crookall's history. He was an MHK, became an MLC, opted out of becoming an MLC to get the public mandate, and he was elected in Glenfarne and Peel. So Tim Crookall knows his way around the political system as a public mandate, and he knew what he was doing when he took on infrastructure. It's not the smallest portfolio, so we'll see what he has to say. Funding for the horse trams was transferred to other jobs, says this correspondent. If that's the case, this is a breach of financial regulations, beside the fact that it was against the democratic process and the will of Timwald. Who approved the transfer of funds? Was it a civil servant or perhaps a previous politician in charge of the DOI? Says Texter 572. Let's have a horse tram referendum, says Bill. Oh, Bill, please, no. I think the horse trams could run without needing to use the point work, which is not finished. The two lines could be used as two separate lines, one horse tram starting at Central Prom to one line, returning on that line, one starting at Derby Castle using the other line and returning on that line. This would be better than no horse trams. They'd have to be shifting the horses around, wouldn't they? If I remember correctly, something similar was done in 2019 when they ran between Derby Castle and Queen's Promenade, says David. Foster's with us now. Hi, Foster.
Hello there. Can you hear me okay?
Loud and clear. Whereabouts are you?
Yeah, I'm in Northern Ireland. I'm in a place called Tandragee. There's some big motorbike race here this weekend.
Oh, I've heard about that. Yeah, it's quite big, yeah. Isn't it?
Well, I guess so. I have no interest whatsoever in motorbikes, but I know motorbike fraternity might know of it. Yeah, I'm just ringing in about the horse tram. I was in the Isle of Man 13 times in my life on holiday with my parents, and I was last there in 1977. So I'm due a visit back, but I'll tell you what it is. I have a very, very fond, vivid memory of the horse trams going along the front in Douglas.
And this was in 1977?
Yep. I was there every year from 1965 to 77. My parents went on holiday, and I can remember my father parking the car somewhere maybe along the seafront, and we would have been walking down somewhere to get something to eat in the evening, and you'd have heard the trams coming down. You had the sound of the rail and the horses' hooves and even the smell of the horses, and it was a lovely, lovely atmosphere. It really was, you know.
What do you feel about this debate we're having at the moment about the horse trams?
Well, I think it's very interesting, and I can't even believe that there's any hesitation not to bring them back, because the world's gone bonkers about all this green agenda. And I'm not suggesting for one moment that it should replace a car, but it certainly would be a lovely addition to Douglas. And I would have thought one of many things would have, you know, brought tourists from the British Isles to visit the Isle of Man, you know?
Okay, well, that's 45 years ago, by the way, Foster.
Yes, I'm 57. I worked all over the UK, and I flew back and forward many a time from London, and sometimes I would see the Isle of Man. I remember one time on the day sailing from Belfast to Liverpool, I even came out of my cabin because I wanted to get a glimpse of the Isle of Man. I think I might have saw the Calf of Man on the way by. So yes, I'm due a visit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling. Come back and see us again soon.
Yeah, just before I go, I'm even old enough to remember the old 50 pence banknotes.
Oh, the 10 shilling notes.
Yes, the 50. Yes, because I remember it, because back in those days, you had a pound note for your pocket money. When you went to the Isle of Man, you could get a pound note or a 50 pence note. And I was there in 1976. There were coins struck for the American bicentenary, and I've still got lots and lots of them here from our holidays in the Isle of Man in the 70s. Very, very happy days.
Fantastic.
Just, A quick plug, we used to stay out at Ballaspit Farm near St John's, near the Tynwald, actually. So there you go.
Fantastic. Thanks for calling today. It's good to hear from you.
Good luck to you all. All the best. Bye, bye, bye.
All right, 29 minutes before one on Man in Line.
King William's College and the Buchan School offer a superb island education. Come to our open day on Bank Holiday Monday, the 2nd of May, and see us on a normal school day. The Buchan School open morning is at 10 a.m.
And the King William's College open afternoon is at 2:30 p.m. Tour the school, talk to staff and students, and learn more about our small class sizes, outstanding pastoral care, extracurricular programme and academic standards. Call 820-110 for details.
Manx Telecom is currently upgrading equipment in roadside cabinets and exchanges that provide copper broadband services across the island. The work means a loss of service for up to 30 minutes for broadband users served by each cabinet. To minimise disruption, work will take place between midnight and 8 a.m. To find out which areas are being upgraded each week, visit manxtelecom.com/cabinets, our store or our social channels.
Is your business getting back on track? Or are you in survival mode? Is it time to diversify and make changes? Conister Bank is part of Isle of Man Government's Disruption Loan Guarantee Agreement, supporting businesses affected by the pandemic with borrowing from £5,000 to £500,000 over 1 to 6 years, and the first year, interest only. Call Conister now on 694 694 or apply via our website. Subject to status, terms, conditions, and early settlement fees apply.
This weekend with Manx Radio, if you can guess who's coming to dinner, you could be going to dinner at the Manin Hotel. Check out the Manx Radio Facebook page this Saturday and Sunday and see if you recognise the celebrities in our carefully camouflaged photos. Then be listening across the weekend. When you hear the cue to call, text your name and the name of the celeb to 166177 for your chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast at the Manin Hotel in Douglas, with the winners drawn on Monday's Manx Radio Breakfast. Guess who's coming to dinner? Another winning weekend this weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Fast am I, 26 minutes before one. A note in from David, who says, Andy, is it true they put the roundel at the bottom of Broadway to hypnotise the horses when the trams... I don't think it is there for that reason. Juan's with us now. Hi, Juan.
How are you today, Andy?
I'm full of horse trams.
It's, as long as it's full of horse trams and not the other horse stuff.
Thank you.
I'm glad Tim Kuchel's got the bit between his teeth, because it sounds like the horses are not going to have to this year, that's for sure.
I'm glad you've got that.
Yeah. The subject just rolled on and on and on. It's more than what the horse trams are doing, isn't it? I hope Tim Kuchel, DIY seems to be a mess and has been for a while. I hope Tim Kuchel, when he went in there, actually had a sort out and thought, well, who's actually signing this stuff off? Well, you know, let's see who's been doing this stuff and signing it off and make a few changes within the department to stop all this stuff happening again. Because it just seems to be a bit of a mess. And the only way the public is going to get an idea of what's going on is a bit of transparency. And Tim sounded quite good there today in the keys. I was listening to a bit of it before. I think it's the only way that we're going to get to know what's happened. I think the whole concept of changing the tram from the middle of the road to the side of the road was quite bizarre. And then having to get another, was it £1 million for traffic light systems to cope with that, which wasn't budgeted. I just don't see how one track right down the middle of the road was not the simplest thing to do. To give the traffic easier access, to stop the traffic getting stopped because of pinch points. One line right down the middle of the road, I'm sure just would have solved the whole problem. If this had been some private enterprise or someone like, say, for example, Albert Goubet, this would have been done and dusted and up and making money by now. It's just procrastinated so long, it's now getting crazy.
Do you think the horse trams are going to run to the sea terminal?
No, it doesn't look like it. It looks like there's a will there for this not to happen in some way. I think the idea of putting them alongside the wall was I don't think it's the best idea. And I understand someone said the other day there's more traffic now. People are getting on and off in the middle of the promenade. They weren't designed for that. You know, the traffic wasn't around back then. But it is that uniqueness that we're trying to keep in the island. And now they're talking about going back to, you know, getting more tourists and holiday traffic. And it is that uniqueness that we're going to lose.
Well, and if they do run down the back there, adjacent to the sunken gardens, they'd have a great view of the sunken... the sunken gardens aren't there, are they? They swept... Well, scrub that last bit.
Yes, there you go. And you're talking about Manx Heritage the other day, and I think Daphne's taken her head out of her green book for a minute and had a look around and thought, oh, we've got a lot of things here that's not working. Well, you know, why is it taking now till the start of the season for people to actually notice that this stuff's not working? I believe there's a new person in charge of Manx National Heritage that they came in last year, I think.
Connie Lovell, she actually got the job, I think it was just over a year ago. She moved to island in August, and she's certainly been invited on to Man in Line. We'd love to see. Edmund Southworth was on Man in Line before then. So hopefully we'll get the boss of Manx National Heritage on to tell us the good news about heritage.
It would be nice to hear that, because, like you say, the honeymoon period's over there. I mean, she's got her feet under the table, things should be moving. And I know I go around the heritage sites a lot when I'm there, and I speak to the staff there. And, you know, there's some really good, knowledgeable staff there that take people around these places. And fair play to them all. You know, they're all really good and really knowledgeable. But obviously they can only do so much, and that's got to come from the top down. You know, there's certain things there, like the tapestries in Castle Rushen. Now, I believe that they haven't been taken off the walls for a couple of years to dry out. They used to take them off and dry them out in the stairway, which was heated during the winter. But they haven't been taken off the walls. And little things like that, which is preventive maintenance, then becomes a massive problem. And it's going to cost money then to fix it. And everyone's scratching their head then trying to find, well, where's this money going to come from?
And it's a bit like the House of Manannan. The trouble is now, it was brand new technology when it came out, and it's not even retro now. It's not even trendy enough to be retro. It's just not working.
Stephen Harrison, I think, was the guy that was involved back then, and I mean, he must have been a mover and shaker.
Certainly got things done.
Absolutely, and the House of Manannan, I mean, like you said there now, I mean, the Odin's Raven, for one, there used to be water flowing underneath it. There's no water anymore. There's a room upstairs which is totally empty. But what I don't get is, in Castle Rushen, the first room you go into, they took all the exhibits out of there and replaced it with timeline boards, which is obviously someone's idea, because that's what Heritage does in England, and they go through these timeline boards. But they've stored all that stuff. And it's all stored away. And I'm scratching my head thinking, we've got an empty room when you're going around Manx National Heritage here, around the Manannan Centre. Why wasn't that stuff just transferred and filled up? I mean, they've got the stuff there. And why is it sat in storage? Why wasn't it just, we've got an empty room, let's use it? I scratch my head sometimes. I mean, a little bit of common sense would have filled these gaps in without any major cost, because the stuff's actually there. So, you know, I think it comes from the top down, and maybe take notice of some of the people that work there, because they're the first line when people come in as to the feedback that you're getting.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Joan. Thanks for calling.
Cheers, Andy.
All right. 20 to 1 on Manx Radio. And Beth is with us now. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I just want to talk about the pavement parking.
Whereabouts?
Andreas.
Okay.
That's where I am. Out in the country, the pavements are quite narrow. Now, I have a guide dog, and ideally, we would need the width of two people. But out in the country, you don't get that all over. When we're walking down the main road, if anybody's parked there, he has to judge whether we can make it through the side or not. And more often, it's not. So then we have to go round the back of the car into the road, and by the time he's next to the car, I'm on the other side, I'm almost in the middle of the road. So it is quite dangerous for, you know, that stretch of a few seconds.
How long's this been happening, Beth?
It happens every so often. It's not constant, but when I first got him 7 years ago, it seemed to happen more. So we started taking photos of the pavement parking and putting them on Facebook, and that seemed to work for a time. But I don't think, I think people just don't think.
Yeah, I mean, it's perhaps not malicious, it's just unintentional and bad manners, really.
Yeah, they don't think about things like that. Even people with prams or, you know, people in wheelchairs would struggle.
Okay, yeah. Well, are you going back to the photos on Facebook, Beth?
I haven't thought of doing it yet.
Well, just let us know if the situation gets worse, Beth. It'd be nice to know which way that's going, but certainly it's not acceptable.
No, I think it probably won't get worse now that people are getting fined. People think more about what they're doing.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Beth.
Okay, bye.
I appreciate your call. Thanks for being with us today. A note in just says... we want the horse trams. Furthermore, you should remind the government when the tourist rang up, he said the horse trams should run from the electric trams to North Quay to the Seam Railway Station. After all, we'd need these attractions. Beach buddies won't do it or fill in the gap, said Steve T. There was a design at one point, I think there was a plan to take the horse trams, or a notional plan to take the horse trams from where they were at the sea terminal along North Quay to the steam railway. Whether or not that would happen now, you don't know. Just going back to the parking, and lots of people talking about parking, lots of messages in from parking. Margaret said, parking on pavements is dangerous for visually impaired people. Those in a wheelchair, people pushing prams. In the past, roads were too narrow, but if people can't park on the road outside their house, they'll have to find a space where they can and walk. Horse trams, ironic. Whenever there's a programme on the Isle of Man, it so often features horse trams, so the publicity is great. They should continue to the sea terminal, so make it easy to for visitors, but though, particularly those on short stay, such as cruise trips, to take a ride. You'll notice that whenever you ever see a film, particularly a kind of retro nostalgia film about the Isle of Man, there's always that shot from normally taken from up in the Sefton of the horse trams around the promenade, around the bottom of Broadway. It's always there. And if you think there aren't many places in the world that can actually do that, and we have it here on the Isle of Man. Some people think that they cost too much and you should just get rid of them. You can't quantify it. It's a non-tangible output. It is a bit of stardust that we have. It's a tourism asset that we have. So do you think we should keep it? Do you think the government should bite the bullet, get the money together and send the horse trams on their way to the sea terminal? A charity that supports people who have visual impairments says it doesn't believe motorists realise how dangerous their actions can be. Sight Matters works with around 500... Sight Matters used to be the Manx Blind Welfare. It works with around 500 people with varying degrees of sight loss and says it's an issue which is continually highlighted. Peter Marshall is the fundraising and marketing manager for Sight Matters. And he says, motorists just do it without even thinking.
It certainly is dangerous. And if you think about what parking on a pavement forces a blind or visually impaired person to do, if the car is completely obstructing the pavement, then that person then has to step out into the road. If they've got a visual impairment or if they're blind, that can be an inherently dangerous. Although guide dogs are very well trained, they wouldn't be able to necessarily stop someone stepping out in front of a car. And a lot of blind and visually impaired people don't actually use a dog. So if it's a cane user or a stick user, that person, especially if they've got combined with a hearing impairment, which some of our members have, then that becomes doubly dangerous then. So although it may be very convenient for, you know, just to park on the pavement, pop into the shop, whatever it is, that can be a real problem.
Is this something that your members do flag up to you as something that they do have an issue with on the Isle of Man?
Absolutely, and in fact, increasingly so. So we've recently run a campaign with the Isle of Man Police Road Safety Team and with the Manx Deaf Society, because this is an issue for them, for the Deaf Society too, and for us. So our members are reporting this to us ever more frequently. It is a problem. A lot of the pavements on the Isle of Man aren't very wide. So if you park a car, there's no place to get past. And it's not just in Douglas, it's in the villages and places too, where often the main road through the village might only have a thin pavement next to it. People very frequently will park on those and park on the pavements there. So yes, it is a problem.
Do you think it's time for motorists themselves to actually just be more considerate and think about other people rather than the convenience of leaving their vehicle on a pavement?
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure that's quite the right framing. I think for a lot of people, they're just not aware of these issues. And you can, you know, if you're just popping in, posting a letter, popping into a shop, whatever it is, it might not be something that crosses your mind. Well, maybe someone with a disability is going to come up behind me, or perhaps you don't think that that many people with these kinds of disabilities it's going to be difficult for. But there's actually a lot of people with invisible disabilities this is a problem for. So the campaign we did with the Isle of Man Police and the Manx Deaf Society was really to try and raise awareness about this, because most people don't want to cause those kind of problems. So we're just trying to get the message out there that yes, this is a significant problem that our members are reporting to us, and it's not that hard to prevent it if you're aware of it.
It's 13 minutes before one on Man in Line. I live across and I know there are a lot of people who love the Isle of Man, its heritage, as I do, says Margaret, and the transport system. I visited last year when COVID restrictions were lifted, and the year before. I can appreciate the effects of COVID. I'm a mature visitor, having visited the Isle of Man since I was a young child. Tourism needs to be supported for the future, and visitors young and old are people who would support, and also the jobs. So let's see the Isle of Man bustling once again and supporting its local people, who deserve better, with roads, buses, and also for pedestrians. But I'm sad to see the promenade in its current state. Thank you, Margaret. Thanks for that note into Man in Line today. Is it illegal to park on pavements, says this correspondent, 475? Is it illegal? If so, why should notice have been given to people that they'll be ticketed? If you break the law, you get a ticket. It's that simple. My mother has just received her itinerary for her coach trip to the Isle of Man in August, a visit to the largest working water wheel. Right, and a trip along the promenade on the horse trams. That'll be another 50 visitors disappointed, says Mark.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Although all legal restrictions around mandatory isolation have now been removed, it's still important that we continue to do the right thing to protect ourselves and others. Be safe by practicing good hygiene. Remember, hands, face, space and fresh air. Be smart by taking up the offer of vaccinations and boosters. And be kind by self-testing when symptomatic or before visiting a vulnerable person. For more information, visit covid19.gov.im.
Step into an oasis of calm at Bridge Bookshop and escape from the world around you with a good book. Relax with some art materials or chill out to some music. Feed your soul with a new hobby. Bridge Bookshop. Find us opposite the beach in Port Erin and at 62 Parliament Street, Ramsey. Warning, reading, painting and listening to music or playing an instrument can seriously improve your mental health. No terms or conditions apply.
This weekend with Manx Radio, if you can guess who's coming to dinner, you could be going to dinner at the Manin Hotel. Check out the Manx Radio Facebook page this Saturday and Sunday and see if you recognise the celebrities in our carefully camouflaged photos. Then be listening across the weekend. When you hear the cue to call, text your name and the name of the celeb to 166177 for your chance to win dinner, bed and breakfast at the Manin Hotel in Douglas, with the winners drawn on Monday's Manx Radio Breakfast. Guess who's coming to dinner? Another winning weekend this weekend on your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Manx Music Festival is back, brighter and busier than ever, with 8 days of local talent on stage in the Villa Marina, singing, dancing, playing, acting, reciting, composing, miming, joking, and even reading the news. And Manx Radio will be there every day, bringing the Guild to you, the winners, the skeet, the new faces, the familiar friends. Updates with your breakfast, then nightly at 9 and online at manxradio.com for podcasts to listen when it suits you, and new for this year, hear it and see it with daily videos on our YouTube channel. Full coverage only on Manx Radio, your Manx Music Festival station.
Manx Radio coverage of the Manx Music Festival is brought to you with Spectrum Windows. Find them on Facebook or spectrumwindows.im. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. It's 9 minutes before one. Sammy's with us. Hi, Sammy.
Good afternoon. How are you keeping?
Good, yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, a couple of things, actually. Now, firstly, I'll preempt by saying I don't speak very clearly precisely about things. However, what I say is meant in all best intentions, and although not terribly well, it clearly sets out. Now, years ago, for quite a few seasons, I worked on the trams. Great job. I was worked in 1990-91. I think I was sacked for being, really been it quite a lot of the time. And then 2002, I think, I worked for many seasons onwards to 2013 on the trams. Great job. Kept me, kind of brought me back from a quite bad offer, psychiatric ill health and such like, senior mental health and such like. And, but however, it got to be quite good because I got to meet people, you know, everyone from all walks of life, you know. You wouldn't believe the people you meet on there and the stories you hear. Plus, it's good company too. And some days you wouldn't make very much money, but, you know, through the wage, you know, got the passing on. I worked as a conductor.
So do you think they should keep the horse trams, do you say?
Yes, I think they should, because for many reasons, really, because it gives the staff, you know, keeps off the streets, no pun intended. It gives the staff something to do. The horses, as they say, it's nice to have horses, obviously, and I'd love to have all myself, because a great deal of hard work and everything to look after horses, but it's like farming. It's a day in, day out, every day, all the time. All weathers, it's a lifestyle, and it has to be done full time. But working there as part time, did in the summer, full time in the summer, it was good. And there's a historical thing too. Is August 76 was the start of my great grandfather, in fact, Mr. Samuel Morris, MHK jurist, political reformer, author, left I think his fifth of six children were Lancashire coal miner, and his wifey, and he left school at 14 or 12, began work as an apprentice, typesetter. You know, worked as a grocery boy, then he became an MHK eventually, and he moved over here I'm not exactly sure, but he wrote a book, wrote quite a few books. Everyone's got a book in his head, one called Max Mary's Movements. Now, in this one, he details in the first chapter about how he, in essence, he goes, if you read the first few paragraphs of it, it's fascinating. It just kind of encapsulates the kind of thing about, you know.
Okay. All right, yeah. Sammy, look, we're nearly out of time, but you wanted to talk about parking on pavements as well, didn't you?
Yes, too, please. Yeah, my auntie, a former college art lecturer, tried it the third attempt, so it was much better. 68, she retired from it. It was my college for the education, and she had a lot of art education lecturer, and then it became UCM. UCM, anyway. And once she had a painting for value classes exhibitions at the Strand Shopping Centre. She had quite a few of these exhibitions, really good, you know, just paintings in a hallway.
Yeah.
That's where I live. And she was such a good lecturer and artist that she got them, you know, the paintings in a whole world class, the standard, and I'll get back to the part in a minute. But there's people are showing, you know, what do you mean, Sam? That was brilliant pain. That's awesome.
What was the point about parking, Sammy?
Well, during one of these exhibitions, I was either putting up and helping take down the screens to the exhibition at the French Shop. You know, the lane between Castle Street and leading towards the foot of Wellroad Hill, between the French Shopping Centre and the other place. Well, on the Markle House area of the, to the left of the steps as you go to the Strand Shop, there's a set of steps there. I was parked there. Once I'd set up the exhibition, second time I set the exhibition down. I think a third time I parked there, and was nobbled by Mr. or Mrs. PC, or traffic warden, and I got, bring his documents, everything. Yeah, okay, fess up, honestly, the best policy to say. So I went in to the old cheap bus station, and there was a Mr. Copper there, and some young trainee coppers, and it's kind of I think it's kind of set an example of, you know, Mr. Senior Cop, I said, you know, that was the worst bit of parking I've ever seen in my life, and I was quite sheepish myself.
All right, Sammy. Listen, we got to go. Thanks for calling today. Lots more messages in, including one about climate change. What happened to the government climate emergency? Debates about horse trams and pavement parking, yes, but no discussions about replacing the power station suggest to me there's no longer an emergency, says G. Well, actually, this coming Thursday, we'll try and get to the bottom of it. Our third Green Future Man in Line talks about, and this has come up over the past few weeks, and it is the subject of geothermal energy on the Isle of Man. Well, Graham Fox Hume got in touch with us a few weeks ago, and it's moved on. We've heard from Fred Gray as well. They both know what they talk about. So, they're both in the studio this Thursday. Graham Fox Hume and Fred Gray will be talking about geothermal energy on the Isle of Man. By a happy accident, our geology, they say, has presented us with an opportunity for geothermal energy exploitation, where you drill down into the earth, down to the red hot rocks, inject water down and get steam back and run a turbine off it. I'm sure it's more complicated than that, but I'm paraphrasing the science. This Thursday, Green Future 3, geothermal energy on the Isle of Man with Graham Fox Hume and Fred Gray, live on Man in Line. Thanks to Barry Redfern today. Back tomorrow, 12 noon.